Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you today. And I can remember back many years ago when I was homeschooled and when I was in college, I thought science was boring. And I didn't like biology. I never liked biology. I didn't like zoology. I took physiology in college. I didn't like it. Just a bunch of facts to remember, a lot of definitions, and I thought science was just plain old-fashioned boring. But that's akin to saying that God's creation is boring. That's akin to saying that God is boring, and that just should never be. So I've come to be convicted of this, that somehow, in my early years, I missed it. Psalm 111, verse 2 says, "Great are the works of the Lord. They are studied by all who delight in them." And I think the thing that was wrong with me is that I wasn't studying them. I didn't really watch it. I didn't really internalize it. I didn't really understand it. I really didn't take the time to meditate upon the works of God. I just glossed over them. If you just gloss over them, you're going to miss them. So you've got to study them. "Great are the works of the Lord. They are studied by all who delight in them." So we need to seriously reconsider how we teach our children. If you homeschool, you need to ask yourself, how are we teaching these things? Are they just random facts? Are we just stuffing our children full of facts? Are we just educating them? We need to ask the question, how are we educating our children? Why are we educating our children? Why do we study biology? Why are we studying physiology? We don't just study it because we're supposed to study it according to the requirements of the State Department of Education. No. There needs to be a reason, and our children need to be well aware of the reason for studying these things on every single page, every single minute of their education. They need to know something of why they're doing what they're doing. Why do we study God's world? Why do we study biology? Why do we study chemistry? Why do we study astronomy? The answer is simple. The answer is ever so simple: to know God. Now, that is not on every page of every biology textbook. In fact, you'll search long and hard to find it in homeschooling curriculum or Christian school curriculum or public school curriculum. You're not going to find that on every page. It's not going to be there. The answer, though, needs to be there for those who are reconstructing a Christian education for their children. We need to know for sure the reason why we're doing this is to know God, to glorify God, to worship God, to take dominion of God's creation in obedience to God. So it is my passion now to keep this on every page of the textbooks, in the paideia, in the education of our children. We are not cosmic dust floating around the universe of pure chance. And the ladybugs, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, they are not just cosmic dust floating around a universe of chance. The heavens declare the glory of God. The ladybug declares the glory of God. The birds in the air, the fish in the sea, declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. This is not a chance universe. This is the amazing, awesome creation of an ultimately creative, all-wise God. All of this was created by Jesus Christ, the carpenter from Nazareth. Are we reminded of this on every page of the biology and zoology books that we're giving our children? So there's been a change in my thinking. I think there's a paradigm shift going on. For a long time, as Christian educators, we wanted to be anti-evolution. We thought Christian education was anti-evolution primarily. No. It's not just anti-evolution. No. It's pro-creator. It's pro-God. It's pro the worship of God, the praise of God. The essence of Christian education is to be praising God, worshiping God, thanking God, knowing God, loving God, saying, "Great are thy works, O Lord. They are studied by all those who delight in them." That's it. As one who's been involved in Christian schools and attempting to reform the Christian church and to bring back the reality of God in the modern world, friends, it's time to bring about a paradigm shift in the way we look at education. We need a distinctively Christian education, a distinctively Christian approach. Why are we doing this? How are we teaching this? Well, I'm going to be drawing together several folks to help us to recreate this new paradigm on how to teach God's creation to our children. Neil Bringe, Dr. Neil Bringe, is in studio with me again. He's the author of a new book called All Creatures Pour Out Speech, Testimonies of Wisdom. And Kayla White has just produced, is hot off the press. I think it's still feeling a little warm, like it's come off the printing presses as of this morning. Kayla White has created a wonderful, wonderful children's storybook called Lucy, A Ladybug's Life. It's a beautiful, beautiful book. So this morning, we're going to talk about creatures pouring out speech. Neil, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Let's talk about the purpose of studying God's creation. The number one purpose for studying God's creation, as you present it, and you've said this over and over again, so I'm getting it. Seriously, Neil, I sit and think about what you've told me. It's to know God. It is to get to know God. Is this something that has just grown on you over the years?
Yes. I've always enjoyed studying His creation, and it's probably kept me to knowing what the truth was all the way through college and graduate school. I see it. I see what is true, and His hand is all over it. I enjoyed taking pictures of it, and it really didn't really sink in till I wanted to do something more significant and appreciate that His word is most significant. I read Psalm 145 that said, "One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts." And I go, I know His mighty acts. I need to declare them to another generation. "And on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate." And that's exactly what I enjoy doing. And it says next that they shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. We can just share pictures of His creation, and they will speak of His greatness as illustrated in His word.
Creation is saying amen to what God said in His word.
Amen.
And creation shouts it. You can hear it, can't you? You can see that the Lord reigns. The seagulls, the crashing waves, they testify to the wisdom of God. And they sing of His praise, don't they? Can you hear the seagulls singing the praise of God?
Yes, when I hear that voice. It's not by accident that the coastlands are glad, because the scripture says, "Let the Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice, let the many coastlands be glad."
And you take a look at the peacock's train. It's the most beautiful bird. It's incredible. Now, the bird appears to be showing his feathers off to the female, but you take something else from that, don't you?
I never really meditated on it till I took a bunch of pictures, and I go, there's got to be something to this beautiful train. And let me just search the scripture here and see, what does it say? Oh, there's the train of the robe of Jesus is beautiful as He reigns. Mm. And his eyes are in every place. Mm. Wow, here's the train and all these eyes on the train. It's a beautiful illustration of our reigning Lord.
Yeah,
and peacock will never be the same again after I gotten these insights.
We see so much of God's goodness in His creation. This is something I've picked up as, you know, I worked on my first little book, God Made Animals. I just see His goodness everywhere. You see it in the symbiosis, you know, where one animal is taking care of another animal. You see it in the mother dog feeding her puppies and the mother cat feeding the kittens. We've actually seen that in just the last month. I think we've had 7 kittens and 14 puppies. And these mothers give birth to these little babies. And what's amazing is these little fur balls turn into these gigantic puppies inside of 6 or 7 weeks. Just add milk. And whoa, we get this amazing creation of God that develops before our eyes. It's amazing. But there's the goodness of God manifested in so much of His creation. Can you think of examples?
The killdeer is a good example. This is a bird that that I saw in Missouri when we lived there. I have a picture of it with a mother killdeer in the path where its three eggs were perfectly camouflaged with the rocks around it. Mm. It's absolutely incredible. You can barely see them. It really probably wasn't after I took the picture that I noticed the eggs. Mm. And then the bird sees me and it pretends that its wing is broken and hobbles off to move me away from its eggs. All of these instincts to protect this bird so that it is around for 1,000 years. And it's just such a good illustration of the verse that the Lord is good to all. His mercy is over all that he has made. Mm. Of course, that includes us. And this is just an illustration to us to help assure us that we're protected by his mercy, as the scripture says.
Mm. So we see his wisdom, we see his goodness, and then we see his power. It's interesting. I was on a mission trip last week, and I had done a red-eye flight. I was about ready to hit the ground, and I was exhausted. And so I laid there on a dock. I was on a dock, a ship dock, and I laid there on a bench, and I just prayed. And here's my prayer. My prayer was, God, you have created the entire universe. You create galaxies. Stars that burn, they have capacity to burn for a trillion years. You have a lot of power and a lot of strength. Could I have a little bit of that today? And he gave me the strength to continue. And I was truly amazed the rest of the day. I knew he was giving me some of that strength and that power that is manifested in the universe around me. But you do see his strength. You see it. You see his glory and his beauty. Talk about the elk. I was reading something of the elk in your work. Just the amazing elk, these gigantic creatures on the mountains of Colorado. Have you seen them?
Yes. I was fortunate to see them running in the heights, 11,000 feet with no effort, holding up these huge antlers.
Incredible. And they're so graceful.
What a great example of of the verse that talks about the God, the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's.
That's amazing. Because there you see such grace and beauty, and 1,000-pound elk.
Just so much
leaping across the plains.
Strength and grace.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes us secure in the heights, just like the elk. It's in victory over our sins, and we can travel through the valleys with sure footing. It's such a good illustration of the strength that we can have in Jesus.
Amen. Friends, there are tens of thousands of lessons to draw from God's creation and to step back and to appreciate his work. I want to shift to Kayla White, who's sitting here in the studio as well. What a beautiful story of Lucy, the ladybug. Kayla, you've done such a wonderful job, and the pictures are amazing. And I'm telling every single person listening, every family listening, okay, you're about ready to buy Christmas presents or birthday presents for your children. You need a copy of this. So of the tens of thousands listening right now, be sure you get a copy of The Ladybug's Life. It's a beautiful pictorial presentation of the life of a ladybug and some spiritual lessons, some Christian lessons throughout it. And here's the first question, Kayla. You studied the ladybug. You did exactly what Psalm 111 is all about. Great are the works of the Lord. They are studied by all who delight in them. You delight in the ladybug, don't you?
I do. From the time I was little bitty, I've just loved studying them. And I've watched their life cycle many times over from the time I was probably 5 or 6 years old, at least.
Yeah.
Up till now.
Yeah. And you delight in the works of the Lord. You're delighting in the ladybug. What was it about the ladybug that so attracted you as a young child?
It's hard to say. I know we grew up with some friends who homeschooled, and they were really into ladybugs and butterflies. And the way I kind of remember it is that ladybugs were the most accessible insect that I had, being able to care for and raise, the easiest to raise.
And I always liked them because they were cute.
They are cute.
They crawl all over you, but they don't bite you.
They're
friendly. They're cute.
They are.
But they're not always cute.
Right.
In fact, I didn't know any of this, but they develop a chrysalis as well. So they're a little bit like the butterfly or the moth, aren't they?
Right. They have a complete metamorphosis. They go through the egg stage, the larval stage, the pupa, and then they actually become the ladybug, which is something that I remember hearing tons of myths about when I was young. Small ladybugs grew into big ladybugs, and spots on their back indicated their age, and all this other crazy stuff that just really wasn't true.
Okay. So the book is going to dispel the myths surrounding the ladybug.
Hopefully.
once and for all, we hope. Okay. That's wonderful. The pictures are great.
Thank you.
And it looks to me like some of these pictures, maybe the most definitive pictures of a ladybug that are available anywhere today. It must have taken you hours to get some of these pictures.
It did. It did. It took raising many, generations of ladybugs, watching their life cycle over and over again, and just taking thousands of pictures probably of each stage and trying to improve on the ones that didn't turn out. And each of those stages too, there's a moment in time, like a 5-minute window you really have to get some of them.
Oh, okay.
So it's very, very time consuming.
Okay.
And I was very blessed by the Lord to be able to catch some of these stages and these things that were happening on camera.
One of the most amazing demonstrations of the wisdom, the goodness, and the power of God is seen in the ladybug. And friends, you've got to introduce the ladybug to your children. That's critical. Okay. There's at least 20 or 30 animals God has created that if you don't introduce them to your children, you're in trouble. So introduce the life of the ladybug. What's the biggest takeaway, do you think, of all of your studies as you have put together this 70-page book on the life of the ladybug? What's the big takeaway?
I would say, for one thing, when you hit on God's goodness earlier, I think that is a really big thing. We see his care for, he talks about the sparrows in his word, how he cares for each one. None of them fall to the ground apart from his father's knowledge. And you even see it in this tiny insect that some of them aren't even a quarter of an inch long. But he has given them defense mechanisms. He has given them the food they need, the ability to survive in some amazing ways. So we definitely see his goodness there. And something else that I also take away is just how easy it is for them to bring glory to God.
Okay.
All they do is they just do what they were designed for. They eat the aphids. They can even help pollinate plants. And just those simple things, they're doing what God designed them to do. And by that, they give glory to God, which is really encouraging to me, because so often it seems like we try so hard to change the world, to make a huge impact, a huge difference. And we overlook the most important things that God has put right in front of us. And that when we are faithful in those simple things, that's usually what God will use to work things we had no idea he could do.
Amen. It's not like some ladybugs out there going, I've got to change the world. I've got to change the world.
Right.
And feeling the pressure, I've got to destroy all the aphids in the world.
Right.
No, you just eat the aphid that's right there in front of you.
Right.
And God will take care of the rest.
Right.
So, yeah, you're right. That's a very good lesson. That's very good. And that brings us to the second point, Neil, that's really constitutes your book, All Creatures Pour Out Speech, and that is we learn something out of this, and that is not only to give God the glory, but also to walk humbly before God. And we see this, and I think that really captures what you're saying. This ladybug is walking humbly before God. it's not like he's thinking of himself as some super special person. We need to copy that. And we learn how to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully. And this is, I believe, is Psalm 103. For consider what great things he has done for you. He forgives all of our iniquities. He makes known to us the path of life. And so the Lord teaches us these things through his creatures. Talk to us a little bit about the hummingbird and how the hummingbird is so faithful in what he does.
Well, I was fortunate to see a hummingbird build a nest right off of our front porch. And it just takes thousands and thousands of trips of bringing little sticks to make this. And then it goes and gets little seed heads and dog fur, and it insulates the nest. And then finally it puts lichen on the nest. And it's so faithful in sitting on the egg and then raising up the chick to show how it can get food mm-hmm. in the most amazing ways. And it's just doing, as Kayla mentioned with the ladybugs, faithful with what it's been gifted to do.
Mm.
And that to us is can be, now when I thought of a metaphor of us building our home, mm. just watching this ladybug, and that's to see it takes thousands of trips for us to go to the Word of God to build our home. Mm-hmm. And then we insulate our home with prayer.
Yes.
And we decorate it with worship.
Amen. That's and good.
It's just when I see the bird now, I think of those things and how we can faithfully build our home.
Yes. Well, we just have a minute or two left. I'm going to get both of you back to the microphone. Kayla, briefly, why don't you summarize the message that you're trying to convey in your new book, Lucy, A Ladybug's Life? What do you want a child to take away from this?
I think the main goal is to see them grow in their appreciation for God's creation. We're inundated by so many things today, technology and movies and music and
right.
just so many distractions as far as media goes. And so many of them from younger and younger ages are being inundated with all of this. Instead, you know, I would like to encourage them to go enjoy God's creation, enjoy the beauty of what he has designed, and to see his goodness, to learn more about him. Some of those lessons will be a little bit harder to appreciate at first when they're younger, but especially if they continue with it, keep studying it, keep pursuing God, they will start to make much more sense as they grow older. It will just, I hope, be a good introduction to it.
And I want folks to visit Kayla's website. It's lucytheladybug.com. That's lucytheladybug.com. Neil also has his website, creationspeech.com. Neil, what would you like to convey to our children as you teach them God's creation and interpret some of the things that creation is saying about God?
Mm-hmm. Well, I want them to know God and to walk humbly with him and to meditate on his works and commend them to others, declaring his greatness.
Yeah.
I want them to have a high view of God.
Yes. Yes. Neil, how do we do this? How do we train our children to study the works of God and thereby to delight in him? Is there a way to sort of introduce this meditation? Of course, we live uh-huh. in this society where we've talked about where it's just, you know, we gloss over things. We're hit with a thousand little pieces of data every 10 seconds. But how do we take that time to appreciate God's creation? Do you take your children on nature hikes, nature walks? You obviously can give them these pictures and maybe show them some nature videos.
Many people will go to the same places and not see any of it. So we have to recognize that this is not something that we would do in our own power successfully. It's only through the Holy Spirit that we see the things of God. God, Solomon asked for wisdom, and we can also pray for wisdom. And Job was humbled by God when God said, you know, were you the one that lifts the hawk wings and makes them fly south? We have a hawk here in Colorado that flies all the way to Argentina. It shows the power of God and humbled Job. And he says, okay, from now on, these things are too much for me to understand. I'll ask questions to you and you will tell me.
Mm.
And that's the position we should be, humbly before God as we drive in our car in the country, or if we're in a national park, just have our eyes open to what he would show us, and then delight in searching his word for what he might be saying through it, and see it and cherish it.
And that's happened to you again and again. You tell me about these nature walks, and you always come upon something, don't you?
Every day. Yeah. I just looked out this morning, and there's these horses grazing and the mountains covered with snow in the background. It's just a picture of peace. So I went, I took that picture, and then I shared it with others, saying this is a peace of God illustrated.
Friends, you need to interact with Neil's website and maybe sign up for some of his Facebook or email Instagram opportunities. Neil is constantly out there looking for another message from God. As the heavens are declaring the glory of God, as are the mountains, the mountain goats, and the ladybugs. And his pictures are truly amazing, inspiring. On a daily basis, Neil is waiting for another message from God, as the heavens do continue declaring the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork.
If I could, I'd like to pray.
Yes, please do. Let's wrap this.
Dear God, we acknowledge that you are great, infinite in all your perfections. You give us all that we need for life and godliness. All that you made testifies to your wisdom. We delight in your grace. Do not forsake us until we proclaim your might to another generation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Give God all the glory.
Amen.
Every day, all day long. I think that's the message on this edition of the program. Again, the books are Neil Bringey's new book, All Creatures Pour Out Speech, and don't forget Lucy, A Ladybug's Life. And may I also mention God, Maine Animals, my little summary of the great creation that God has provided and his manifestations of his goodness, wisdom, and power all around us. These books available at our website, generations.org. And pay attention to special offers coming up during this Thanksgiving season, friends. We want you to have all three of these books. Lucy, A Ladybug's Life, All Creatures, Pour Out Speech, and God Made Animals at our website, generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.